Ready?
Okay. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defence, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Okay, I'll put it back over here. Righto, this morning I talked through this same passage, and none of you were really here, so I'm going to just tell you very briefly what I said, and you're going to remember it well. And we talked about what it is to walk in the light, to walk under Jesus, to walk under what he's done, and trusting in what's called the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that to walk in the light means that we repent, we confess, we acknowledge our sin, and not only our sin, but our sinfulness. We have, you know, what some people might call the sin nature. We have that and we sin. And as we do that, we humble ourselves and we realise that we can't purify ourselves and we need Jesus to do it, okay? You've got to be taken to the point where you go, I can't purify myself. Hey, Jack.
Yes, we are.
Good. Okay, only Jesus can purify us. But until we get to the point where we lay ourselves down and say, I'm the one who's stuffed up, I've done wrong, we'll never actually receive the forgiveness. But when we confess our sins, we confess we need to be purified, we need forgiveness, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now this is absolutely central to being a Christian. You can't be a Christian without it, okay? Repentance and faith. Turning to God from sin, trusting Jesus. And then we saw, this is all a recap of this morning, so you haven't missed much, Jack, you're all good. John followed this by saying, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. In other words, the Christian habit of confessing, acknowledging, and then trusting in Jesus actually takes us to a place where we actually leave sin behind. Completely? Who here stopped sinning? Oh, okay. Sorry? No, it's only me. Well, let me tell you how I did it, okay? I achieved it my way. No, that's not true. So he says, I'm writing to you. So in other words, though, if I say to you, God's given you this great gift of grace, you might say, well, then God doesn't care what I do. And what John's saying is, no. We confess our sins to God. We humble ourselves before God. We trust in the cross of Christ. We trust in his forgiveness so that it actually drives us from sin. And as we keep doing that, we actually are taken away from sin. Okay? Which is the opposite to how some people think. And I don't want to go into this because I did this morning. But some people get the idea that if we keep talking about sin, it'll make us sin. But if we keep it's actually the opposite. If we know our sin and we know we have to confess it, trust in God, it actually drives us from sin. Okay. So listen to that this morning. And we talked about living the light. And the thing is, when you're under Christ, when you have received, because God is incredibly frightening in his holiness if you have sin. Just one little bit of sin. Okay? Should you be afraid of God if you've got one bit of sin? The answer is yes. On judgment day, you don't want to be there unless you're absolutely pure. So living in the light is like when you live in the light of the gospel, knowing what Jesus has done for us, it's like, and this is what Jody told me to say about it, cockroaches and moths. Are you a cockroach or a moth? Because when you flick the light on in a room, right, and there's cockroaches, what do? They run away from the light. But what do the moths do? they fly towards it. Okay? When you know, right, what God has, what Christ has done for you in that full purification, and then you see him in his holiness, you're drawn towards him, and you love him, and you want to be close to him. But when you're a cockroach, no, when you have your sin and you don't know what Christ has done for you, you'll run from him, and you'll make up some new weird theory about God. And we're going to talk about weird theories in a minute. And I want to focus on something different tonight from that passage, but before I do, I just want to ask, in what I've just said there, is there any questions? Because we actually, if we spent the rest of the night talking about that again, it would be all right, because it's so important for us tonight. Do you get what I'm saying? Are there any questions on that? Do you understand what I said? You've got to confess your sin nature and your sin. Do you know what the difference is? No? It's kind of, it's like of the human being without Christ kind of has this, you know, in a computer you say you've got a default setting, you go back to your default, and the default setting, which remains with us even when we become Christians, is kind of this desire to sin. But the difference is when we become Christian, we actually receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, becoming a Christian actually starts in you. It's not like, oh, life's all great. As soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, a battle begins. And it's the battle of your sinful nature, which says, I'd like to do that. And the Holy Spirit, who says, you know that's not God's way. Do you understand? And that battle, you will live with for the rest of your life until you die. And then the sinful nature will fall away and everything will be good in heaven. There will be no more sin. Okay, so we have this, does that make sense, Toby? This sinful default. And then because we have this default, that's why we do sinful actions. Like, we might lie. But you see, what Jesus does is he gives us a new heart when we trust in him. And that new heart begins to, if you imagine if you were made of stone and you had a heart of stone, but then you were kind of just a statue, aren't you? But then if that heart was made of flesh and turned to flesh and it starts to really pump some blood and force it out into your outward members, then what's happening is that the heart of change begins to bring a change in your life. And you sin less. That's good, isn't it? Do you believe that God has purified you and forgiven you 90%? How much does he have to forgive us? 100%. It's got to be 100% or it's nothing, doesn't it? It's all or it's nothing. Do you believe that? It's really worth asking. 100%. Mm-hmm. Stand before the living God in all his holiness, in his judgments, tonight, if you did, if judgment, that Jesus returned right now and we stood before him, do you know you have no sin? If not, look to what Christ has done. And look to this passage, actually. Okay. Does it seem a contradiction to you to say this? If you say you're without sin, you're kidding yourself. And then I say this to you so you won't sin. Does that seem... what? Can you see the contradiction? Does that seem like a contradiction to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Put it this way. When I said you had a default position, but you see, for everybody who's not in Christ, they are going to sin. And even the good things they do aren't that good because they're not done in faith in Christ. But you see, what happens is when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you come to Christ, it is not a foregone conclusion anymore that you're going to sin. Okay? He actually brings a change which starts to work out through you and you don't have to sin anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The fact that we do doesn't mean that we have to, and it doesn't mean it's who we are anymore. We have been washed, we have been cleansed. So that's why he says in that passage, did I put it in here? He says, but if anyone does, I write this to you so that you will not sin. And then he says, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defence, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In other words, if we do sin, we know where you've got to go with it. Confession, acknowledgement, repentance, faith in Christ. That's where you go with it. You don't have to actually do some great action. Have you ever seen the... what's that movie? It's got Tom Hanks in it. And some Catholic movie or something. And,
Da Vinci Code.
What?
Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, that's right. And there's some character in there who's always full of guilt and he's whipping himself and stuff like that and bringing himself pain because he's got guilt. You don't have to go there. Christ has done it all once and for all. You go to Christ and you keep going back to Christ again and again. When we went to Vanuatu on a mission trip years ago, we heard about a ministry over there, I don't know, blah, blah, blah ministries. And what they would do is, you know that someone would become a Christian and then they'd sin again. Oh, when they become a Christian, they get baptised. And then they'd sin again and go, oh, I think I've lost my salvation. So they'd go back and this bloke would baptise you again so that you feel clean. And then you'd go out and you'd sin again and then go back and he'd baptise you again. And these people were getting baptised, you know, over and over. Well, I would just be permanently in the water if it was me. But it's like, there's got to be something we've got to do. But what we've got to do is run to Christ. And he is the only answer. Okay. Now, none of that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, so now I'm going to go somewhere different. But do you get what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about this. Did you notice in that passage that John said three times, if we claim? Didn't notice, did you? He said this. If we claim to have fellowship with God, that is, or with Jesus, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. So if we say that, if we say we've got fellowship with God and we're walking outside of the light, we're not living by the truth. Then he said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and truth not in us. And then he said, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in the light. Now, why did he say this? Why does he say, if we claim? And the answer was quite simple. Because he was speaking to a church where there were people who claimed. There were people who said some, well, let's call it crazy stuff. Okay? Crazy ideas about who God was. Crazy ideas about who Jesus was. And crazy ideas how they should behave. We're lucky we live in 21st century Australia where there are no Christians with crazy ideas. It's good. That was a joke. Do you like that one, Clyde? That was good. Right, no crazy ideas. But understand this. Crazy behaviour doesn't make itself up. Crazy behaviour comes from crazy belief. Okay? The way you act comes out of your doctrine. Just, I'll put it in a really simple way. Understand this. If people go on sinning and doing whatever they like in this world, Christians or non-Christians, right? They have a very particular view about God. They don't believe he's holy and he's going to bring judgment. They believe what the devil said, you will surely not die. Because if you think, I surely will die, you won't go on sinning like that. Do you understand? So your behaviour comes out of your beliefs. It's basic. So when you see, it's really a good thing for young people to do, when you see people behaving in a certain sort of way, even in Christian, go, what do they believe that's behind this? Because it's really important. Action comes from belief. Get what I'm saying? Okay, so he was faced with a group of people, and theologians call them, you ready for this? Gnostics. Can everybody say Gnostics? Now picture Gnostics starting with a G, because it's GN like gnomes. Gnostics. Say Gnostics with a G, you say that.
Gnostics.
Still sounds like Gnostics. Okay. Right. Now, Gnostics come from a Greek word which means knowledge or knowing. And what they believed is that they had what you might call, they received from God a higher knowledge. Right? A higher knowledge from God about who he is. God's telling me stuff, and that knowledge comes directly from God to me. And I say it to you. Last night, God told me this about Jesus. Right. Does that sound dangerous to you? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it should, because you see, if God is telling us stuff, let's just say, God, last night I was laying in bed and I was bathed in this warm light and God told me I've never sinned. I told Jody that. Yeah. God said, you understand? God's saying, I have fellowship with him even though I do what I like. God's saying, I have fellowship and I don't need Jesus. I can have fellowship with God without Jesus. God told me that. I'm being sarcastic here. Don't think I'm saying this for real. Just in case. A couple of you look worried. Okay. Yeah. Because people can have some crazy understandings of God. And we actually can't go there. There is a problem. I'm not saying we can't hear from God. Don't get me wrong. Okay. There is private revelation. God tells us things. We actually, it's a right thing to ask God for advice, isn't it? But if I come to you with something about God, which is kind of a bit, well, let's say questionable, then a good thing to do is to question it. Really, know the truth. Okay? Especially when it's about God, when it's about Jesus, when it's about salvation. We can't accept things as just being from God because someone said it. Because that's what the Gnostics were doing. They were saying, God told me this. And by the way, have you ever found that it's really hard to argue with someone who says, God told me this? Even when they say something crazy. God told me this. No, he didn't. Do you ever feel like you want to say that, but you don't? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone ever heard God say, as a person say, God told me, and you think, I'm not sure if he did. Right. That's actually good. Because the Holy Spirit, even though there is a specific gift of discernment that the Holy Spirit gives, the Holy Spirit is actually with all of us. And we kind of at times get this feeling that something's off. And even if we don't, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, do not treat prophecy with contempt. So if someone comes to you with says, this is what God says, don't treat it with contempt, but test everything. Which is actually a command then, isn't it? Because why I say that is someone could say, and people do also say, oh, you're questioning me, you've got a critical spirit. You've got a religious spirit. You've got a whatever, do you not understand? Except for you, and you can say, no, I've got an obedient spirit because I'm obeying what God said to do. Test everything. Now, this might sound like a bugbear, but you see, this is really, really important. Okay, it's what God tells us to do. A good example in the Bible, I've got written it down here, is of a group of people called Bereans. Now, you've all heard of Bereans. They come from Berea. And it says this in Acts 17:11, because Paul and Silas were preaching to them about Jesus. It said, now the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians must have been scumbags. They kicked them out of town. And they received the message that Paul was preaching with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of the prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So a whole lot of people believed. But firstly, what they did, they listened eagerly to Paul. They went with notepads and pens, right? And then they went home and they studied the scripture to find out if what he was said was true, and then a whole lot of them believed. Now, did they have a critical spirit? No, they wanted to check up. Okay. It's not judgmental to check things out, okay? I say this, I know there's a few young people here. It's really important, people. It's really important. It is. Okay? It's not that everybody out there is evil and trying to lead you astray. It's not that. It's just sometimes, you know, we get something in our head and we run with it. It's not right. I'll stop again and just ask. Do you understand what I've said about by this? By this thought that God gives me knowledge and then I tell you and I'm always right. And that kind of what that lifts me up is a place which is kind of like a mediator. And in between there, he's God, he's you. Here's me. I'm over you. I interpret God to you.
No, that's wrong.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay. What does John do in 1 John is he actually goes through, he has these people called Gnostics, and what he does is he gives you a certain amount of, and theologians call them tests, to see if someone's actually right. And I'm going to give you five of them. The first three are only about Jesus. Okay? So we'll start with the ones about Jesus. And he says three things about Jesus. Number one, okay? Now, he talks about it in harsh terms. If somebody preaches a different Jesus to you, he calls them an antichrist. That's reasonably serious, isn't it? Someone who's opposed to Christ or setting themselves in the place of Christ. So he's saying this is a big issue. The first thing is, he says in 1 John 4:2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, point one is, everyone who is of God believes that Jesus, number one, came in the flesh. He was a human being. He was a real man. Now, actually, now understand this. This wipes out a whole lot of cults in this world. Because there's a whole lot of cults out there who believe, or other religions, who believe that Jesus was kind of a spirity, ghosty type thing. Or that he was not always a man, or that he changed and things like that. Okay? So number one, Jesus was a man. Test number one. Number two comes from 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. So, number one, Jesus is a man. Number two, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Saviour. Only Jesus can save. Anybody who tells you any different has a spirit of the Antichrist. Right? We're going good with this? Point three. Did anyone know it just to save me reading it? No, it's all right. Just wondering. Okay. No, I won't make you get the sin of pride through knowing. Chapter 4, verse 14 says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Okay, so point three, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. In fact, and he eternally has been God. Because he starts off the letter by saying that which was from the beginning, that was there right when the world was created, that was Jesus. He's always been the Son of God. Okay. Even if you say Jesus is the Son of God, he's equal with God. At one point when Jesus said he was God's son, the Pharisees wanted to kill him because they said anybody who says he's the Son of God is saying he's God. So Jesus was, number one, he came as a human being. Number two, he was the Saviour of the world. He was the Messiah, the promised one. And number three, he is God. If anybody denies those things, they are of the Antichrist. Now, it sounds a little judgmental and harsh, but you've got to understand, this is really important stuff. Because there are religions, there are Christian churches in the world that deny this, even today. Okay, we won't name and shame. The next point, number four, is something about Christians, where the last two are. Chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So how can you know a person? Because have you ever met someone with brilliant doctrine, but they're kind of a mongrel of a person? Yeah? They're not... Sorry. Leslie gave me an eye roll there. Oh. Love is a sign of a Christian, isn't it? If they don't love, he says, if they don't love, they're not from God. Yep. They got the 3 points about Jesus, and 1 point, they love. And the next point is they will love and they will have evidence of a changed life. In chapter 3, verse 7 to 9, he says this, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, and just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. No one can go on sinning because he has been born of God. So what he's saying there is, now, I said before, you know we will sin again. But do you know that there's evidence of a changed life? There's fruit that works out. I said, when the Spirit's at work in you, you actually do change, don't you? If I said I became, look, I used to be an alcoholic and a partier and all that, and then I became a Christian and I was an alcoholic and a partier, you'd go, really? Well, I hope you would, wouldn't you? Because if the Spirit's at work in you, you'll be changing. Yeah? And the thing is that someone who has the Spirit at work in them hears the commands of God and they obey. Don't they? If they don't ever obey, faith without works is dead, isn't it? It's not real. Okay, so I want to take you those 5 points and I want to tell you something really, really freakily amazing. Yeah, it's got not much to do with this. Do you know this, right? Truths that are close to the truth are far more dangerous than truths that are way out there. Okay? Yeah. Every false truth will be actually close to the truth, and the closer they get to the truth while being false, the more dangerous they are. You want to have proof of that? That I never realised till last week. Do you know, every religion, name the Muslims, the Muslims, or the Hindus, or the Buddhists, or the New Ages, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Mormons, do you know that they all talk about Jesus? Why would they? Do you know that I've read the Bible, I've never heard Muslims mentioned, or Hindus, or the Baha'is. Everybody talks about Jesus. Why? Because you've got to have a bit of the truth, a little bit close to the truth, to make a convincing lie. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they have to tell you something about Jesus. Doesn't mean it's true. But you've got to admit, if someone says, I believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin, that he did great miracles, that he was a prophet sent by God, you'd start listening and go, hey, this guy's on track. That's what the Muslims believe. That's what they believe about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? They don't believe he was the Son of God. They don't believe he was the Saviour of the world. So what I'm saying is, we actually need to be people who are discerning, and the thing that we are discerning with is the Word of God. Now this is not... Okay, we can take this and then become quite, regimented about it and apply that to everybody, and we can easily become quite critical. But what I'm telling you is this. When people tell you stuff which is kind of not in the Bible or added to the Bible or a bit questionable, check it out. And there are actually some things that we know that's true. Firstly, about them. Do they love? Have they had a changed life? And what are they saying about Jesus? Because it's really important. Because if they get Jesus wrong, they get God wrong. And you end up with crazy behaviour. Behind all this, of course, is the devil. The devil wants to misrepresent Jesus in the world. Now, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4, and I read this verse this morning, but I'm looking at something different. He says, the God of this age, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so he's twisting their minds, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. The devil does not want people to see what? Who Jesus really is. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. In other words, that's why we're on about Jesus. Because we need to preach the true Jesus. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Okay, the devil is against us. He's happy for you to be religious. The devil likes you to be religious. He likes you to be good. And he likes you to be proud of that good. Little bit of hypocrisy. He likes a bit of hypocrisy. That's good for you. Okay? What he doesn't want is this. He doesn't want you to know that Jesus came in the flesh. He doesn't want you to know that. Why? Because he doesn't want you to know that a man died as a man in your place, taking your sin once and for all. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know that a man in flesh was raised from the dead and stands at the right hand of the Father now in the flesh still, with real human flesh. He doesn't want you to hear that, because that would mean that you're going to be raised too when you believe in Christ. You understand? The devil wants you, he's taking you away from the truth, so go into the truth and see that it's good. Okay? Christ has died as a man. Only a man could take away the sins of men. And women, of course. He died for our sins. He was punished in his body, which was a human body. And the devil doesn't want you to know that. Because otherwise, he doesn't want you to be free. Secondly, he doesn't want you to know that Jesus alone is the saviour. There's lots of saviours. That's what he wants you to hear. So dig into the truth. One saviour, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, he doesn't want you to know that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God. He doesn't want you to hear that, that Jesus was working in the eternal plan of the Father to save people. He doesn't want you to hear that. He doesn't want you to know that everything that Jesus did was from the Father and for you, that Jesus was the eternal God. Can you hear what I'm saying? He doesn't want you to know that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will love and you will have a changed life. He doesn't want that. In other words, those truths that John presents are not just important so that we know what's wrong. It's so that we actually hear what is right and what is central for us as Christians tonight. Who is Jesus? What's he done? Really, really important. The devil always wants us to live in condemnation. That's why he brings his accusations. It was only last week, I was laying in bed about 3 in the morning, as you do, and I suddenly had these thoughts. Maybe you've ever had them. How could you really be a Christian? See what you did yesterday. Right? Do you think that comes from Jesus? No. Jesus, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to you and brings you conviction of sin is you go, yes, you're right. You confess your sins, and you know he also brings a conviction of righteousness at the same time. So you can confess. And you see, but when you hear that voice that says, you're a stuff up, you're a nobody, you're a loser, you're a failure, you have fallen short of God, how could you really be a Christian? That is not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. And what's he really, now hang on, there's his behaviour. What's his theology? Jesus didn't take away your sins. Jesus is not your saviour. Yeah? Can you hear that? He doesn't want you to have assurance. Be a little bit sure, but don't live in freedom. Now, when I say freedom, I said before, I'm not talking about freedom to sin. I'm talking about freedom to live life to the full in Christ. That's what you can do when you have no guilt and shame. Fear is taken away when we know what Christ has done, even if we have Kennedy's disease, even if we face death, and we will. We can know we are children of God. To finish, all I'm saying is this. The Christian life is a battle. We will battle the evil one. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more the battle will be there, because he will try and take us away. And he will bring his accusation and his doubts and his fears, and he will bring us false truths about Jesus. So, dig in to the truth about who Christ is. Study the Bible enough. We're saying study the Bible. Sometimes, look, let's be honest, we don't know Bible verses. Yeah, have other Christian friends. Just go to them. I heard this the other day. Do you know anything? And they'll go, oh, you've got to read 1 Peter 1:18. And they go, oh, yeah, that's right. That explains it. Talk to other believers who turn to Scripture. Be like the Bereans. Go to him. Because, not just so that you know the falsities, but so that you know the truth. Because when you know the truth will set you free. And that's what comes to us through Jesus. Now, I've talked far too long. But I'm going to ask, has there anyone got any questions on this? Father, I just want to give you thanks that we can know that Jesus has come in the flesh, that he's taken away our sins, and that he's been raised from the dead. I want to thank you that we can know that this Saviour of ours is your Son, and he is good and in your plans. And I want to thank you that we can know that if he has taken away our sins, they're gone. If he has saved us, we are safe with you. And I pray that you would pour your Spirit on us, that we might know and live in your love, that we might know your love and live in it. And Father, that you would cause us to become righteous people who live by your righteousness, who love your law, who love your truth. And I pray, Father, that you would give each of us a discernment to know what's true, to know what's a lie, and to search out your scripture to find that. And I pray, Father, that you would keep your little ones safe and that we would live in all of the fullness that comes through Jesus, who is our Saviour, who is our everything. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.